Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Talking about resting in the goodness of God. Resting in the goodness of God. Now, when I say resting, there is some labor involved. It's just, you know, it just, I wish it just fall on you, but it doesn't. There is a labor involved. The Bible talks about this in Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to touch on this a little bit tonight. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Now, the Amplified Bible says this. It kind of brings it out in more depth. It says, "Living the good life." That sounds good, doesn't it? Amen. How many want to live the good life? Amen. Well, it says here, "Living the good life, which He prearranged and made ready for us to live." I like that. Amen. He prearranged your path for you. Just for you. We all have our own paths, right? You have your race. You're not in competition with no one else. You just keep in your lane. Amen. You just keep in your lane. Do what God tells you to do. And the Bible says you'll live a good life. That doesn't mean you're not going to have issues. That doesn't mean you're not going to have trials. But in spite of those trials, come on, we are supposed to live a good life. You notice when Jesus, when He walked this earth, circumstances never stopped Him. He got in His lane and He just went as the Father led. If He had to walk on the water, He walked on the water. Other words, He walked right on the circumstances that were trying to take out the disciples, right? In that one storm, they were in the boat and they were laboring and the boat was filling up, and here comes Jesus walking on the very thing that was trying to take Him off this earth. Jesus walked right on it. Now, we just read that He's prearranged for us to live a good life. So He set the example for you and I that what He did, we can also do. He walked right on the water, right on top of those circumstances, supernatural. And saints, we are designed as a child of God to do the same works that He did. Amen. That's the reason why He's given us the greater one on the inside of us as a helper. It doesn't mean He's going to do everything for you, but He's on the inside of you to help you to do what? To live the good life. Ministering to other people in your lane. As you go through this life, you're doing the works of Jesus. Well, God hasn't called me to some great ministry. Hey, listen, you can reach people that the big ministers, the big evangelists can't reach. But you can. If you just think about it, if you can get across to one person, to keep that one person from going to hell, just one. Wouldn't it be worth it? Come on. Amen. You cannot put a price on that. Yeah. But He says there, He has prearranged for us to live the good life. And we're at the rest in His goodness. Now listen, He has prearranged. In other words, there goes the candle. It survived. But He has prearranged everything that we need in life has already been attained through the Word. That's the reason why you have to know the Word in order to live in His goodness, living the good life. What you don't know, listen to me, what you don't know can kill you. What you don't know, Bible says they were in Hosea, I think 4:6, that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Isn't it interesting? He didn't say faith. He said knowledge. We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But you got to have knowledge, right? You got to hear it. So if you don't hear it, how can you have the faith for it? So knowledge. So as we renew our minds to what God has given us, we can enter into the good life, living a productive life, fulfilling everything that God has given for you to do on this earth. But you got to know the Word. And thus is what we're going to talk about. There is some laboring to enter into His rest. In other words, when you hear the Word, you're going to take the Word and you're going to hold fast. That's part of the laboring, is holding fast to the Word that you've heard. In other words, it just doesn't happen, saints. There is a holding fast. And we're going to see in this next scripture that Jesus gave the disciples a word to go across to the other side. Now, in order for them to have a successful journey, their path, to be successful, they will have to labor into that word. They will have to hold fast to the word that was given to them. Now turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I believe that's where we need to go. Amen. We don't have that many scriptures to go to tonight, but I'm going to try to get this across, that there is a labor involved in receiving the goodness of God, in receiving all the goodness, all the benefits of His Word. Saints, there's no limit. It's limitless. But there is a labor, because we have an adversary who wants to steal that Word, because he knows that if you stick with the Word, you will have success. If you stick with the Word, it will take you across. You stick with the Word and you'll reach your destination. If you stick with the Word, saints, you'll finish your course with joy. That's what it's, saints, we're in it to finish. We're not here to start. We're not here to have, it is what it is. No, we're not going to be passive about this. We're going into this next year. I'm not being passive. I'm not going to just say, that just happens. I'm going to stand up, take my authority and power. Wow, Pastor Chuck, you're going crazy now. Thank you. He's given us, listen, the power that raised, you get this out of Ephesians chapter 1. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power that quickened Him is in you. Amen. Think about it. He's in you. He's empowering you. He's strengthening you to do what? To finish your course, to fulfill everything that God has given for you to do. But you just can't be passive about this. You got to pull the straps up and get aggressive. Now, I'm not saying about doing a bunch of works. I'm not saying that. I'm saying doing the Word. That's the work. And not letting go of that Word. In the verse, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And on the same day, well, what day is that? He said the same day. The same day he just taught the disciples the greatest parable. Charles Capps called it the granddaddy of all parables. The sower sows the word. He just taught them, same day. Now it's time to take a test. Now, what did you learn? Have you ever flunked a test? I know Shelby probably has bunches of them. Now, for me, it was sort of a... I'm not saying I flunked a lot, but I had my share. Well, the disciples are about to take a test. And we're going to find out, did they learn anything? Because in the parable, it talks about the hard ground that the seed never got to be able to go and never penetrated the ground because it stayed on top. And then it says that Satan came immediately and took the seed. Why? Because it was easy to get, right? It was on top. Okay. Now, with that in mind, let's go on to verse 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, hallelujah, let us cross over to the other side. Now that, here again, is a command. Here again, faith is, we talked about faith as being a law. He's making a decree. It's a command. Let us cross over to the other side. Now once those words are released, as far as Jesus is concerned, it's done. So the second part of the law is you go on about your business. Why? Because you believe. Spirit of faith, you believed what you said. He spoke the words. He released faith. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to rest. He's going to stay in the boat. He's going to sleep. Now, we all know this story, all right? So pretend you never heard this before. Now, the disciples heard everything he said, right? They got into the boat, right? And they started to go across, right? So they heard the word and they're acting on the word. That's great, isn't it? Let's read on. Verse 37, it says, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. Now, some scholars said the boat, the way this reads, they said the boat is pretty much full. But Jesus, what was he doing? In the stern, asleep on a pillow. Now, how could that happen? How can that be? Huh? He must have believed what he said would come to pass. Listen, that I guarantee you. Now, this is me. You can't disprove me, but I believe. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you're hearing it tonight. It's hot off the press. I believe that Jesus not only sleeping, but he was sleeping on the water. Now, you can't prove that he did or didn't. I'm just saying, if he could walk on it, why not sleep on it? It doesn't matter to him if the boat's filling up. Big deal. We're going across. That's the word. It's not going to fall. It's not going to fall to the ground. It's going to happen. Jesus knows it's going to happen. There is no doubt. So what happens to the disciples? Now, do you think they're going to doubt a little? Is it possible? They just heard the words of Jesus. Is it possible that they could doubt His words? They've just been taught that whole day about the sower sowing the word. Surely they know that those words were seeds. Surely they would know that those words will come to pass if they just take the time to hide that word in their heart, because the word will work. But they get halfway across, the boat's filling up, and the disciples are looking at each other, okay, fishermen, they know. And what comes out of their mouth? And what do we say about the devil? Satan comes immediately. The problem we have here is they did not, it's not a lack of knowledge. It is a lack, they did not mix the word with faith. They heard it, but they didn't do anything with the word. In other words, the word did not profit them. It says this in Hebrews chapter 4. So since they didn't work the word, they did not enter in to the same rest that Jesus was having. Jesus got up. What'd He do? He spoke peace. Listen, He spoke peace because He had peace. You can't give something out you don't have. He did not allow the circumstances to come into His heart to affect His words. He didn't allow room for anything else. Saints, when you hear the word, you cannot allow room for anything else. Because the devil will try to take that word. He knows that word will work. But what he tries to do is to get you to doubt that word. So what the devil did, he brought in this big, he huffed and puffed this big storm up, trying to get them into fear, right? So that he could steal what God put in. Because he already knows that word will work. The only weapon he's got is the bluff. He's got to make you think that you're about to perish. He's got to make you think. See, get your mind thinking. Then if you think on it long enough, well, you know, this is getting pretty bad. The boat is filling up. All these circumstances are piling up. Evidently, we're going down. We better wake up the master, because it is obvious that our time is short. So they wake Jesus up. Let's read this. So they wake him up. It says in verse 38, he's asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care?" You know, that has to hurt him. Hurt Jesus, hurt the Father, because he cares. But they're thinking in the natural. Do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there's a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" He could have said this. He could have said, Why is it that you have no word? I gave you the word. Why is it? What happened to the word? Well, the enemy took the word. And not only did the enemy take the word, it left a vacuum or an empty place for the enemy to put his words in there. Now that they're speaking not what Jesus said, but they're now speaking, do you not care? We are about to perish. Well, those are not Jesus' words. He did not utter those words of fear. He has no fear to utter. That comes from the enemy because they left a place for him to work. In other words, there's a failure here to hold fast, to enter into peace, to enter into that, to that, the goodness of God, to enter in. You're going to have to labor. Listen, the body, have you ever noticed, a lot of times the body would take an easy way out, or it doesn't want to do the hard thing. You know, do I have to pray? You know, I'm going to take a couple days off. Do I have to fast? Because the body is kind of lazy. It don't really like to labor. It's always looking for an easy way out. But Paul said, you know, Paul said this, and I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, I keep my body under. Right? I bring it under. I think the King James says, I discipline my body. Or New King James. I discipline my body. I keep it under. Or I discipline it. He called body an it. Because, listen, your body will do things it shouldn't be doing. Right? It shouldn't eat that whole pizza. It will. I have to purposely put a piece off for Joanne. I know it's sacrifice, but I give her, I shove a, you know, like Barney, I slide a quarter over, you know, leave a tip. I slide one. I can put it away. His body may look a little skinny, but I can put food away if I want. You just got to eat it fast enough that your brain doesn't know what's going on. I'm serious. It takes 20 minutes, especially my brain, it takes about a 20-minute delay before it knows it's full. And I know it. So I can stretch my stomach pretty good in that 20-minute time. Now, after that, why did I do that? Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. We're kind of touching, not going real deep on this, but I'm kind of laying a groundwork for this. Hebrews chapter 4, after James. Timothy. What did I say, 4? Hebrews chapter 4, it says, I want to go to verse 11. See here. It says, let us therefore be diligent. This is New King James. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Now, the King James says this. This is good. I like it actually better. It says, let us labor. Now that word labor, I got written down. I got this out of Strong's. It means to make every effort to hasten. In other words, to be quick about it. Be diligent about it. Don't be slack. In other words, don't be passive. It says, let us therefore labor to enter into that rest. That's something the disciples did not do. It goes on. Let's see. I got this written down. In other words, don't be passive, but be aggressive in your faith walk. Be aggressive. I remember we were playing. It was a softball. When I was about 15 years old, we were playing softball, and I was in the outfield. But in this field condition was very rough. The outfield had a bunch of holes, and for whatever reason. And our coach said, he got us guys together. He said, do not allow the ball to play you. You play the ball, because the field is so rough, you don't know what the ball is going to do. So when the ball is hit, you get aggressive and you go after the ball. In other words, you don't allow the ball to tell you what to do. You get in front of the ball and you get aggressive. It's kind of like David when he went after the lion and the bear. The Bible says he went after. See, if you can't go after that was before Goliath. If you don't learn the lesson of going after, being aggressive, how are you going to be aggressive against the big boy? How are you going to be aggressive in the big game if you're not aggressive in the little game? Right? When he went after Goliath, the Bible says that he hastened. He ran to the battle line against Goliath. Well, what's the big rush? He's not being passive about it. That's the whole point. It's the attitude of faith. In other words, faith is, you're so confident in what you're doing. You're so confident the word is in you, so strong that you're not hesitant. You're taking it by force. You're not being lackadaisical about it. You're not being, no, you're going after the things of God. You're going after it because you have confidence. Why? Because you're going to come out on top. You're not going to be on the bottom looking up. You're going to be looking down at Goliath. You're going to be going on to the other side because you're confident in the word. You have entered into confidence. You've labored enough. You've soaked into the word. Listen, what we have to do, it's kind of like the disciples. They were so focused in on the storm. It's not going to end good when your focus is on the storm and you start talking about what the storm is doing. You're going to refocus your mind, what you're looking at, refocus on the Word and spend time in His Word meditating, thinking about that Word, pondering about that Word. What are you trying to do? You're trying to hide that seed, that Word, deeper in you, holding fast to that Word. Come on. So when the storms come, You're not going to easily let go. You're holding fast. In other words, you've labored long enough by meditation. Well, how long do I have to meditate until you see it? How long do you need to meditate? Until you see it. Saints, it's a lifestyle. You may not need healing for your body, but I'm telling you, you need to keep those scriptures in front of you. I'm talking about meditation. You may not need it today, but next week you may have an attack, the enemy. They're under attack. They went across, halfway across, they got the word, but they were attacked. The problem was they didn't hide the word. The problem was they didn't hold fast to that word. You know, a lot of times we got our hand out here holding fast. I'm not talking about holding fast here. Holding fast the word close to you, in your heart, not letting go. You're holding fast. That takes meditation. It don't come just by reading I did a confession today. That takes more than that. It's a lifestyle. Faith is a lifestyle. You have to hold fast. The enemy wants it. And he's going to sift you. He's going to try you to shake you loose from that word. It says here verse 11, I'm reading again out of the King James. Let us labor, make every effort, make quick of it, to hasten. In other words, you want to do it. You don't want to take a whole lot of time. Just do it. Listen, Jesus expected them to hold fast to that word that he gave them. He expected that. Listen, they didn't have a whole lot of time there, but it was enough time. They should have held fast. But they didn't refocus. They kept their mind on what the enemy was doing. If you're paying attention to what the enemy's doing, like on the news, I try to keep up on it a little bit, but, you know, I just can't focus too much on it. I just can't do it. I don't want to. There's other things I want to focus in on. His word. I want to focus on what God's doing. We're living in the last of the last days. I want to know what's going on. I don't want to drop the ball by looking at what the enemy's doing. Are you with me? So the enemy wants to steal the word. Now remember, this is the same day. The same day that Jesus was talking about the sower sowing the word. That's how easy it is, saints. Don't think it could never happen to me. Hey, listen. Even when I'm on my computer, I don't trust my body. I don't trust this flesh. I keep my door open. When you get on that internet, there's some stuff on there. They entice you. I've been on that computer enough. I remember the time I was on a computer and I was going to look up the Indianapolis Colts calendar. It was back in the heyday of Peyton Manning and stuff. And I thought I typed in Colts calendar or something, but I didn't get that. Do I need to tell you any more? It came up, I blinked my eye, and I hit escape, nothing. I tried control, delete, alternate, or whatever it was, I don't know what. And it did nothing. Then I started to look around, because I know the sheriff is close by. If she sees this, it's hello Jesus, my day of salvation has come. I guarantee you. I was looking around for the sheriff to come anytime. Everything seemed like it went in slow motion. It's like I could not find the right key. It's like everything slowed down. It's only about 30 seconds. But it seemed like 30 minutes. Finally, I tried everything and I went down and I hit the off key, the power strip. I go, that was close. But I don't know much about computers. Is that going to come back on when I flip the switch back on and I reboot that computer? Is it going to come back up? And that I had no idea at that time. Thank God it did not. But I'm just saying, I keep my door open because I don't trust my flesh. I've heard enough stories about other... What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying I keep the word in front of me. I don't want anything else interfering with me. I don't want anything enticing me. I've heard too many stories. I've heard too much. Way too much. And high, you know, preachers that's been in this for a lot longer than I have messed up. I just take precautions. I set up criterias. I'm just not going, I'm going to leave the door open. Everything on my computer, there's a history check on there. I don't know much about it. There's clouds up there. There's people, they know what you're doing, man. Don't be stupid about this. I don't trust anything. The government, I tell you. Anyway, I don't want to get on that. But anyway, I want the Word in front of me. I want my focus on the Word. I want to hide that Word in me. I want to hold fast because I want to, listen, I want everything that goodness, that His goodness has given to me. I want it all. And I don't want to take any chances. I don't want to be disqualified. I don't want any interruptions in this race. There is a labor to this. In verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us, he's telling you, the secret of laboring. Part of that secret, and the main part of it, is to hold fast to your confession. The King James says profession. It is our profession. That's our way of life, confessing what He says. All the disciples had to do was just to say the same thing or act on what He said. That's all they had to do. And see how fast they didn't do it. Now, listen, thank God Jesus was in the boat. But saints, listen, if we're not saying the same thing He's saying, you're setting yourself up to sink. If you're saying something else that He didn't say, you're setting yourself up for a failure because what the enemy says won't take you across. What the enemy says will sink you right there and then. Even though you've got the Holy Spirit in you trying to help you, but if your focus isn't right and you're focusing on the words of the enemy and you start saying what he's saying, you're not going to be able to get across. You're going to have to labor. You're going to have to hold fast to the Word of God. You know, I'm thinking, Jeremiah chapter 1 or chapter 6, I think it's chapter 1, verse 6. It talks about, God says, I'm ready to perform my word. Or I think the Amplified Bible says, I'm ready and active to perform or to do my word. Well, what word is He going to do? Now, you got to ask yourself, what word is God going to do for me? It's the word that you give voice to. It's not the word. Hey, listen, there's all kinds of word here. I can carry this around all day, 24/7. But you know what? If I'm not giving voice to this word, how can He perform for me if I don't hold fast and speak His word? I'm telling you, he's going to and fro looking for somebody who is faithful, somebody who has His word, someone who has faith, loyal to Him. He's looking to bless. Even though as a child of God, you are blessed, you are highly favored. You're not trying to attain these things. You are. But God is a God of more. You know, the Bible says, I think it says, I will bless, I think Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. Well, how are you going to do that? With praise. I will praise Him continually. I will praise Him continually. His praise will continually be in my mouth. That's how you bless Him. You bless Him. He looks for ways to bless you back. He's looking for ways to bless you. Even though you're highly favored already, even though you're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, you're already blessed, but He wants the more on top of you. He wants to lavish more on top of you. Saints, you hold fast to that word. You hold fast and watch Him. You live a lifestyle of thanksgiving and see what happens. He's looking for people to just pour out more and more and more. He already loves you. He's just looking for more ways to bless you. You imagine we get to heaven? We'll experience more and more and more. It never ends. I was thinking about today. We get to heaven. We all start praising Him. You imagine the multitudes. You know, I didn't have a vision of this, but it's been a while back. I turned around and I could see, you know, an endless sea of people raising their voices. Can you imagine that? In unison, raising their voices, praising Him, not with a whisper, but with a shout of thanksgiving. Saints, we got to learn to do that here. This is the testing grounds. We do it here. This is what pleases God. Faith without thanksgiving, I'm off on thanksgiving. Where does this go? Faith without thanksgiving is incomplete. Faith without praise is incomplete. They work together. Our lifestyle on this earth right now should be a lifestyle of giving thanks continually. Praise. He is so worthy to be praised. His goodness. He has given us His Word. He has given us everything we'll ever need. Everything we need has already been prearranged, given. You know, let's go ahead and close. I am not going to go this month, tomorrow, going into next year, being passive about the things of God. I'm not going to just be passive about the Word. I'm going to act on His Word aggressively. In other words, I'm going to the other side. In other words, yeah, I know we go, you know, the Bible says we go through, for instance, we go through the valley of the shadow of death. But we're not camping out there. We're going through. We're going through. If you think about it, you're going through, but think this. You got the Good Shepherd in front of you. This is Psalm 26, or 23, verse 6. It talks about goodness and mercy following you. That word follow means to pursue. So you've got goodness and mercy on your path following you, and you got goodness in front of you, the Good Shepherd. You're surrounded with goodness. You're not going to fail. Come on, if you give the Word first place. Now, there's the obedience part to this. You're guaranteed to win, saints. This is all. We are guaranteed to win if we hold fast, if we are obedient and keep on the path. When you start doing your own thing, when you start doing what you think, saying, now we're kind of talking about something else, just stay in your lane. Just stay in your lane. You know, I'm not trying to be an evangelist. We got our evangelist right here, Greg Barron. He's the evangelist. He runs with the big dogs. I'm not trying to be an evangelist. Now, I can be an evangelist to my neighbor. I can take the work. You know, we ought to be, right? Do the work of an evangelist. But as far as that calling, I'm not, no. I'll stay in my lane. I'm more of a teacher. I just like to teach. When I first heard Pastor Mark, I never heard anyone teach until I heard Pastor Mark. And the first time I heard him teach, I go, that's me. I can teach. Even though I never taught a lick. I still have an issues teaching. But God has put that in me, that desire to teach. I just like to teach. Did you get anything tonight? Amen. Amen. The Lord's good. Yes. But we're to labor, saints. There is some laboring. I'm kind of touching ground with this. But there is a labor. There is a labor, saints, to enter into that goodness, to enter into His rest. It just doesn't happen. We have to press in. There is a, you know, you just have to be like the woman with the issue of blood. You just have to press in. I don't care what's in my way. I'm laboring. And until I see manifestation, I'm going to stay right with it. But there is a place, and I've had this, you labor, you enter into that rest. There's just a confident. Even though I may not see manifestation, but there is a confident that manifestation could, I have a great expectancy for it because I know the Word works. Now, even after I make my request, I make my prayer, I still keep the Word in front of me. I keep that Word in my mouth. Amen. Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.